Okay, so, goddesses, why don't you close your eyes, take a breath in, just let yourself come into that nice, soft, relaxed place, place that the goddess loves. And let the energy of the day be behind you now. And feel the energy in this room, this circle, these goddesses, the presence of all of the entourage, the ancestors, the ancient ones that are here to honor us. As we honor and love each other in this family of goddesses, this circle of light. Feel that love around you. Feel that honoring. Feel that yes. And just let yourself sink into that yes. The support of spirit, the love of the goddess, the energy that we were in today that comes with us now as it is awakened, and how you know yourself more deeply, as beautiful, as sacred, and as magnificent.
Greetings, greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon of Magnetic Service. This is the second message in what you have called the Goddess Tour. And today, you went to that place they call the Acropolis Hill. And I want to take a moment to tell you what you really saw. It is profound. Not for the historical reasons, but you see such a big picture of what we have been telling you now for over two decades. And I want to review with you a little of what the energies were that perhaps very few see. And then I want to project it onto the future. You're looking at Greek history, and we have said it before. Many would say that this is the place where so much thinking began. Thinking about self, about planet, about esoterics, about all things intellectual, about language and science, art, beauty, sculpture, architecture. And that there was so much advancement here in those areas, so quickly. Indeed, if you go back as far as you can, this is the place where human beings started to examine God or the feeling of Creator in a very intellectual way. You can go to different places of the planet and you can see the beginnings of many kinds of beliefs. But in this particular place, you get to reveal something I'm going to identify. And what I'm going to identify now is spiritual evolution. It is so easy to see here how it started, where it went, and perhaps where it's going. We've talked about the dispensations of energy that human beings have gone through that have to do with spiritual things. You would think that God would be self-evident, that a human being would be born and there would then be an intuitive sense that said there was a creator. And there is. As far back as you go, from the ancients who lived on the planet far before the Greeks, there was. But here you got to see it in a way that really paints spiritual evolution. It's interesting, but it's understandable that if there is a creator, that the first things that human beings would try to do would to be figured out who it is, what it is, and why it is. And in a very elementary beginning way, in spiritual evolution, you did not have the kind of esoteric thought you do today. Not at all. It had to start very, very simply. And what humans have done literally since they began to operate with God is to humanize God. It's understandable. That's all you have is a model, the psyche, the humanness. The greatest philosophers would humanize God. Even today, the greatest organized systems of spirituality continue to humanize God. But you saw it so clearly, did you not? On the Acropolis Hill. There you got the information of the 12 gods. Humans decided that God was a family. That makes sense. Because again, all humanity had was themselves. And so the model creator had to be like them. But they went the second mile in Greece. They made them dysfunctional. Now, this is funny now, but they did it because that's who they were. And so it made sense to them that there would be disagreements and all of the things that humanity has with their gods. Now, before we go any further, I would like to bring up something. No matter who is describing God, no matter how elementary it is, whether it's in Egypt, whether it's in Greece, there is numerology involved that is accurate. Why 12? Why did Plato decide to split the soul into three intellectual parts? Even today, you teach the triad in so many ways and currently in spiritual belief. So the numerology seemed to be accurate. There are many civilizations that had many gods, but none like this, for they intellectualized all of them. In Egypt, there were many gods. Sometimes, through Egypt history, there was one god, Pharaoh. Unfortunately for them, he kept dying. And so then he was replaced. That then led to another system, because the creator is not supposed to die. And so you have 12 immortals. That is a beginning. And you have to see what took place over eons of time, thousands of years. We sat in that which you call the State of Israel not that long ago. And we told you that those who spoke Hebrew on that land, that you call the Jews, brought this planet a monotheistic God. And that was the next step. So you go from many gods to a monotheistic God. The master of love also spoke Hebrew. What an irony it is that the master was a Jew. And you see the evolution from many gods to one. You go from the dispensation, perhaps, of law to a dispensation of love. And we have said this before, that there would be three dispensations. When you passed the 2012 marker, you moved into the dispensation of responsibility. And immediately, you saw the issue. For 2,000 years, although you had a monotheistic God, it was still elementary. For now you decided to argue over who had it right. And even the major belief systems of the planet are split. One creative source and wars about how to worship it. Like children in a playground, discovering the seeds of truth and not seeing what the truth really is. Past 2012, it becomes slowly the dispensation of responsibility. And then there will be a further evolution, the final evolution, where they see the essence of God and realize that it applies to all humanity. That there is no right or wrong way to worship or to love God. And that culture can be different and appreciated and respected and understood. And there will be many ways, but all of them will be correct. For God is love. That is the step that you are now starting to move into. And in the process, those who are the most radicalized about what they believe is correct or not correct are the ones that will make the most noise. And that is because they start to see the devolution, the crumbling of the differences. Light starts to be greater than dark. And you start to understand that God is not intellectual. God is not like a human. God is love, compassion, so much more than anything that a human being corporally is. And that revelation is something that you can capture and live. And that God is a caring God, not a judgmental God. Today, when you look at the most modern belief systems on the planet, in this year, 2016, you still have a humanized God. A God who will punish you and watch you. Who doesn't want you to do this or that. And that, my dear ones, will eventually go away. The dehumanization of God is at hand when you start to realize that the creator of the universe is not human, does not think like a human, and never has. This age of responsibility starts to put upon you some things that you should think about. You've always been told how to worship. You've been carried along by others who said, do this and do that. They tell you which direction to face. They remind you of the mythology. They tell you about dark, negative energy and how to avoid it. And all you do is follow the example and go from one place to another, hoping you get it right. Suddenly the light is turned on and you realize that none of those things are accurate. They've been put upon you by human nature. That God is light, and the mythology starts to disappear. The traditions that you would hold clear for centuries start to disappear because you start evolving. And in that evolution, I will tell you what's next for you. This is a group that is going to do ceremony. Ceremony is like congratulations of energy, of self. It's celebration. That's what it is. And in that there is epiphany and realization. And I want to tell you the premise that we have been teaching for so long. It's time to change the entire paradigm of how you work with God. You wait for others to give you instructions of where to worship, how to worship, when to worship, how much, how long. It's part of the structure of your life. But dear ones, it's not a box. The age of responsibility means that at any time you wish, you are your own altar. God is inside you. If somebody says you have several hours of free time on a tour, it doesn't close the door to celebration. It means you can go into the forest with others if you wish, or just across the street to visit a tree. And you can use 3 hours to celebrate all by yourself, because that's the freedom of God. Don't let an activity or a historical site or the history lessons get in the way of how you feel at the moment about God. Don't compartmentalize it. Know that you are one who can worship and celebrate the beauty of God in you, no matter where you are, in a closet, in a historic place that means nothing to sacredness at all. You are sacred. You are sacred. I feel a song coming on. And so it is.